We are the people of God, right? We are the people who say, we have God, and God has us. Is that enough? Do we have enough of what we need in God and from God for what we're facing in life? Not just regular life, which is crazy enough, but for this extraordinarily irregular life that we are embarking on together. Do we have what we need to face this challenge? We are in an irregular season of life, friends, in case you haven't noticed. But there are seasons, Scripture says, when the kingdoms of this world are going to be shaken. And they're going to be shaken, and what can be shaken when the earth rumbles under them, what can be shaken is going to be removed so that the things that cannot be shaken will shine. The author of Hebrews talks about this in Hebrews chapter 12. He says this phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. The things that cannot be shaken will remain. Jesus talks about something similar in Matthew 7. You remember his call at the end of the Sermon on the Mount to build your house on the rock of the words of Christ and not on the sands of the world's many philosophies. Because storms are coming, and what can be shaken will be shaken. Is that what we have? Do we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken? Do we have a foundation to our somewhat wavering faith? Do we have a foundation that cannot be shaken? Is that where we are? Are we in that kingdom? Are we on that rock? We need to be sure of this, right? We need to think carefully about it. Have you ever been to a beach? When you look at beachfront property, right, there's a lot of sand laying around. And even the rocks look pretty fragile, right? There's a lot of broken rocks and boulders and cliffs that seem strangely eroded. And I'm not sure I'd want to own property right there smack on the edge of it. So we need to be sure that we're on a for real rock. Do we have what we need to face this challenge? So look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. And here's Scripture's answer, Paul's words to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We're going to be for this Sunday and the next two Sundays here in this passage of Scripture meditating on not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control together. So do we have what we need to face this challenge? And the answer from Scripture is that God has given us what we need, not just to face this challenge, but to seize this as an opportunity. When all the world around us is going crazy and everything is being shaken, we have the thing that is going to remain. So let's think a little bit this morning about what God has given us. God has given us the Spirit. Now, what spirit is this? It says in verse 7, God has given us a spirit. And half the commentators I read said this was the Holy Spirit, and half of them said it's our spirit. And 2 Timothy doesn't actually help us because the word spirit only occurs three times. Here, and then a few verses later where it's in reference to the Holy Spirit, and then at the end of the book when it's in reference to Timothy's spirit. So it doesn't necessarily help us in how Paul's thinking about the word spirit here. But I think that either way we look at Holy Spirit or our spirit, it ends up being both the Holy Spirit and our spirit. Because if this is a reference to the Holy Spirit that we've received from God, well, power, love, self-control, these are the things that the Holy Spirit is working on our spirits. Those are spirit traits that the Holy Spirit is doing to us. But if this is describing our spirit, that God has given us this spirit, well, where did we get that from? And power, love, and self-control come from the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I don't think I have it here. Okay, I don't. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, Paul says that the Spirit of God testifies in our spirits that we are the children of God. So the Spirit is in conversation with our spirit. So God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's also given us our spirit that we have. So everything that God gives, and here's an important theological point, everything that God gives us is connected to the Spirit of Jesus, right? The Spirit of Jesus is the, capital T, the, capital G, gift. That's what the Spirit is. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus says to the disciples, the same thing that Peter uses in Acts 2, he says, wait here till you receive the promise of the Father. Wait till you receive the promise of the Father. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is the gift. And what the Spirit does and what the Spirit is working on in your life and mine is to transform our spirits. So the only way you can have this effect of a spirit of power and love and sound self-control within you is if you have this cause of the Holy Spirit. And whenever you have the cause of the Holy Spirit working in your life, the effect will be power, love, and self-control in your spirit. Now, let me tell you why this is doubly good news. First of all, it means that God has given us something that is outside of us. That's really helpful. When you feel weak, when you feel anxious, when you feel spun around, you need something, someone that you can lean on, that you can call on, that you can grab a hold of. When I was a child in an Awana program, we would play, this is in the 80s, so you'd play all sorts of games that you probably shouldn't be playing. And one game I remember very clearly because we ran the length of the gym, put our heads on a bat, and spun around 20 times, and then ran back to the starting point, tagged the next person, and they went and did it. When I went down there and spun around 20 times, and I started back, I didn't quite make it. I was pretty sure I was going to make it, so I was running hard, but I was losing my balance slowly but surely, and eventually ran as hard as I could into the concrete block wall to the left of the gym. Now, that wall was a very strong and safe and secure object outside of me that I would have wished I had had closer when I immediately got my forehead off of the bat. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is for us. When we've put our forehead on the bat, when the world's put our forehead on the bat and spun us around, the Spirit is right there outside of us that we can lean on, we can call on, we can grab a hold of. Now, just to be clear, because I want us to have the right conception of this. What is it that we're leaning on when we're leaning on the Spirit? Right, so we're very careful to talk about the Holy Spirit as a person, which is a very good and true thing that we need to keep in mind. But the way that Scripture talks about the Spirit, we need to make sure that we're thinking about those images and metaphors and symbols as well. So the word Spirit, right, is Spirit. It's the word for wind. We also see the image of fire. We hear writers talk about the power of God as embodied in the Spirit and the presence of God and the life of God as given to us in the Holy Spirit. So leaning on the Holy Spirit isn't just leaning on another person. It's leaning into also a whole different experience of being, a whole different experience of reality. Think about crying out to the Spirit and leaning on the Spirit as the moment when your airplane, if we still have airplanes in the future, when your airplane goes from the storm through the clouds and above. And what is it like above the clouds? There's no thunder and lightning shooting off above the clouds. Above the clouds, it's a beautiful spring day always. Right? The sun is always shining. That's the world of the Spirit. That's the life of the Spirit. And so to lean on the Spirit and to cry out to the Spirit is to enter that place, the place where it's always beautiful, sunny, and springtime. So we have this wonderful thing outside of us, but it also means that we have this thing inside of us. God has given us something inside of us. We are, listen, you are no longer only yourself, especially yourself in the pre-Jesus version of you. You are a transformed self. I want you to take for just a moment and imagine Jesus in your situation. Imagine Jesus in this world right now with viruses and politicians and all of our anxieties and distress. And you imagine Jesus stepping into any situation, and what is he always like, right? He's always just, boom, he's got it. Poise, wisdom, let's do this. Gentleness and kindness, he just nails it, right? That is the Spirit that is within you now. That the Spirit of God is working to grow and to see increase in you. So friends, we can get, listen, it's crazy. Right? It's crazy. It might get crazier. It might not. Who knows? And you can get low sometimes. But you don't have to. Because we have this Spirit and we have this thing within us. So listen to what Paul says his experience is like in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We have a Spirit of power. So we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, you feel perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That is our experience now. As everything's getting shaky and as we ourselves feel fear, we don't have to give into that. We don't have to receive that. We can feel both the shaking, but also we can feel the bedrock that we have in Christ. The hope of the gospel and the hope that the Spirit is working on pours a slab in our souls. There is a hard, thick foundation that we cannot go lower than as long as we're aware of what God is doing in our lives through the Spirit. We have that hope. And with that hope, we not just have hope, we have hope always produces creativity and energy. Listen, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. There's a power at work within us, not just preventing us from dipping down lower, but propelling us forward into this moment with hope, grace, and then we'll receive power, love, and self-control. So God has given us what we need for life and godliness, even today, in the challenges that we're facing, to seize them as opportunities. So let's get to know this Spirit that's at work on us and that is residing in us. Let's get to know this Spirit a little bit more. And it's a Spirit not of fear. Jesus uses an interesting expression at one point. He talks about wars and rumors of wars. Now, wars are worse, but rumors of wars are pretty bad too, right? Rumors of wars are bad because they're cheaper, they're easier to spread, they're plentiful, and they have a cumulative destructive force. What's our situation right now? Right? Do we have the actual bad thing or just tons of rumors of the bad thing? And it's hard to know, which only adds to our sense of distress. Now, to be clear, then, that spirit of distress that you and I feel, that's that panic that we hear about in the media, that spirit of fear is not from God. It is not from God. Don't blame it on God. Don't call it wisdom. Don't call it prudence. Let me tell you about our God. Here's who he is. Here's where he is. And here's what he gives us. From Psalm 29, 10 to 11. Maybe the best thing in this entire sermon. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. So the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. This is an image of chaos, of primeval terror. And the Lord is enthroned over the flood just as he is enthroned always and forever and right now. And so in the next verse, the psalmist says, So then may the Lord give strength to his people and bless his people with peace. Strength and peace come to us from the Lord because he is enthroned forever. That is who our God is, where he is, and what he gives. We see the same kind of language from Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you. What did Jesus leave with us? He left us the Spirit. And the Spirit is bringing the peace of Jesus into our hearts. In Luke 24:49, Jesus tells the disciples, listen, I'm sending the promise of my Father, that's the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus, in his gift of the Spirit, is giving us the power and the peace that God Almighty always lives with way up above the flood. I was just told earlier today that the government is making sure that news outlets stay open and well-staffed. I guess that's good and okay and fine. But listen, the Word of God is a news outlet. This is the news outlet. Are we listening to this just as much as we're listening to that? Because this is what we need to hear. Friends, what do we have? We have the Spirit of God with us, and we have new spirits within us. There is no spirit of fear anymore. Well, what if it is kind of a spirit of fear? Right? What if I don't feel power, I feel fragile? What if I don't feel love, I feel suspicious? What if I don't feel self-control, I feel like things are out of control? You know, whenever I watch a Marvel movie, I always think I'm Captain America in that movie. I'm not Captain America. I'm the guy that the overweight police officer is leading to safety and panicking with his briefcase over his head. Right? That's who I am in this situation. So what if we don't feel like we have this spirit? Okay, then we're like Timothy. Look again at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. Well, we don't necessarily think that Timothy was a coward or a scaredy cat or anything like this, but Paul's concern, because of the world that they lived in, that Timothy would not respond with a spirit of fear. And just for a moment, like, let's get a little bit of historical perspective on our moment here. Right? Well, what we categorize as a pandemic was probably in the first century everyday life. Right? Diseases, hygiene, they had awful hygiene, they had no medicine, right? This was there every day, and Timothy's living in that with all the same sort of normal human emotions that you and I have. So what should Timothy do, and what should we do? Well, he says here in verse 6, fan into flame the gift of God. Now, let's just talk about that in two phrases. We'll talk more about the gift of God next week. But just so we're on the same page with what is this gift of God, the gift of God is the unique contribution to the body of Christ and to the mission of God that you make. And it's not easy or likely distinguishable by you. Like you can't necessarily be like, oh, I'm good at this. This is my thing. It's not necessarily distinguishable from you. Right? It is the U-shaped of faith and service and love and peace and joy. It's the U-shaped work that the Spirit's doing that we then enjoy, that the world needs, that we all need. That's the gift. So there's this gift of God that's in Timothy, but it needs to be fanned into flame, right? The contribution, what God has called you and I to do, to respond, not just to survive this experience and this challenge, but to seize it as an opportunity. What do we need for that? We need our faith fanned into flame. Now, we're not talking about Leviticus, but I just want to bring that in for just a moment, because it's really interesting that in this context where Paul's talking about the Spirit, he's talking about the flame. He's talking about fanning the work of the Spirit and the effect of the Spirit into flame in us, because we saw how in Leviticus and then throughout Scripture, the Spirit is evoked by the image of fire and the flame. And this is a symbol of God's presence and joy. So Paul's telling Timothy, I want you to fan into flame a greater sense within you that God is present for you and that all will be well and even good. Fan into flame your faith, your confidence that God is with you and that all will be well. Listen, if you get anything from this sermon, get this, that we have what we need. Do we have what we need from God, in God? Yes, we have what we need. But what this sermon is more uniquely about is this second idea, that we have what we need in God, but sometimes we need more of what we already have. We need to experience more of God's presence and joy over us in our lives. Sometimes we definitely have what we need. Sometimes we need what we have. And in that situation, fan your faith into flame. That's what Paul's doing in verse 7. He says, let's fan your faith into a flame. And so remember the kind of spirit that you have. And that's what the rest of 2 Timothy is about, is Paul passing on to Timothy a faith that is inflamed for the glory of God and for the spread of the gospel. So if you've got fear feelings, let's fan that faith into flame. And how are we going to do that? Well, this week we're going to talk about prayer. Next week we're going to talk about Scripture. And the third week we're going to talk about the church. So let's talk about prayer for just a moment. Fan your faith into flame using prayer. Now remember, we're talking about prayer first because of that cause-effect, effect-cause relationship, that if we want some spirit work done, we need the Holy Spirit of God to do it. So to change our spirits in real, significant, lasting ways is going to take a work of the Spirit. So if you look down in chapter 1 here, verse 14, Paul tells Timothy, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So we got to have the Holy Spirit involved for our spirits to change. So let's talk about prayer. First, pray. Pray your anxieties, pray your requests. Look with me for just a moment here also in chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Notice every time Paul says the word remind or remember. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. I'm remembered of your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother. And in verse 6, for this reason I remind you. There's all of this reminding going on. Don't stuff it. Now, you've got bad feelings, you've got anxieties, you've got concerns. Don't stuff it. Speak your requests. State your business. What do you want? Let God know. Remember those things. Speak them. And so pray. Prayer is always good, but prayer is always better with Scripture and with the church. So pray from the light rather than from the dark. Here's what I mean. A lot of times when I go to prayer, I'm just full of anxieties. Sometimes I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to say it. In me is the flood. In me is the chaos and the shaking of the world. So it's okay if you want to puke all that out on God. That's good. But sometimes I think it may be all the time is preferable to start with a word of Scripture. Start from the position of the light, right? Get your airplane up above the clouds for a moment and then pray over all of your things. Start with Scripture. Start with this one, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. or the scripture that we talk about in the midweek, or something from your devotions, or one of the Psalms. So take a few verses. God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Right? Wow, God, you have given us your spirit. Thank you. Wow, thanks. Thank you for giving us a spirit like this, a spirit so good, a spirit that has the power that I need and the love that I want and the self-control that the people around me wish I had. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my fear, and I'm sorry for not trusting you. And please help. Help this sense of your presence and joy to become inflamed in me. So just walk through a couple verses that will help you pray. And then pray with the light and pray with your priests. Right, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that the priesthood of all believers doesn't necessarily just mean every Christian can go do whatever they want and they don't ever have to talk to anybody. That's not the point of that teaching. And I think if we understand it from the viewpoint of Leviticus, as we've been studying, that this is a call to use the community of priests that you've been embedded in. So use the priesthood. Involve a friend in your concerns. Invoke the covenant. We took vows. You shall pray for me and pray with me. And they will. They will love that. And the Spirit will love it. Listen, the Spirit has a sweet tooth for Christians praying together. Jesus says in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus' name, there I am among them. And he's among us by the presence of the Spirit. And this is specifically, this gathering is in context, asking for things. So asking for things in twos and threes in the name of Jesus, and he's right there in it. The Spirit of God is right there in there with us in those places, because the Spirit loves this kind of stuff. Do we have what we need to face this challenge? Right, we have the Holy Spirit of God with us. We have spirits that have been born of God. So yes, we have what we need. We have what we need. Well, when we need what we have, when we need more of it, let's fan our faith into flame with prayer. Let's just take a moment. And what from that was most fresh and helpful for you right now? And take a moment and think about that. And then I'll pray. We'll sing. And then we've got a surprise. So let's just take a moment and think about what we just heard. Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your generosity to us, that you have given us your Holy Spirit, and by the work of the Spirit, you have given each one of us new spirits. And we praise you, Lord, that you are the God who sits enthroned above the flood, who sits enthroned forever, and that you give to your people both power and peace. That all of these things are organically connected. We have you and you have us. And so we have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is transforming our spirits into the image of Jesus and to be in this world with the power and peace of Christ. This is a beautiful vision, an extraordinary reality that we live in. And yet we also live in a world where kingdoms are shaking and where we feel our fragility so painfully near. So please watch over this word. Let it dwell in us richly. And Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come work in our spirits. Take our little faith and inflame it. That we may know that you are with us. That God is with us. That God is pleased. And he is working. And we can trust him. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.